All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at something pretty interesting for anyone in the legal field, and I think it's especially insightful for you law students out there.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Cases like this are, you know, what make studying contract law so fascinating. You see these really fundamental principles play out in, you know, real-world scenarios, and it's not always as clean and simple as it seems in the textbooks.
Exactly. It's like you have these established doctrines, you know, like the mailbox rule that we're going to talk about, and then bam, you get a university mailroom snafu, and suddenly you're in this legal battle that could have gone either way. The case I'm talking about is Monahan v. Finlandia University.
Yeah.
And I think this one is really going to highlight how important it is for you future lawyers to know not just the black letter law, but also how things actually play out in practice.
It's a great example of that. Like, on the surface, it's, you know, a pretty straightforward contract dispute. But when you really dig into it, there are some pretty interesting nuances and, you know, arguments on both sides that make you think.
Right. And it's all about a tenured professor, a job offer, a deadline, and a, well, a bit of a mailroom mishap.
Huh.
So before we really get into the legal weeds here, let's lay out the story. Our main player is Joseph Monahan. And you might see his name pop up as Philip in some of the sources. Probably just a typo somewhere along the line, but, you know, the core legal issues are the same regardless. So Monahan had been working at Finlandia University up in Michigan for a couple of years. He started there in 2006 as the dean of the International School of Business, and he got tenure about a year later in 2007. And, you know, during that 2007-08 academic year, he was actually wearing a few different hats up there. Definitely not a newcomer to the university.
No, definitely not. And I think that's an important piece of the context here. He had an established relationship with the university. He had tenure, which, you know, carries a certain weight in academia. So there's a level of expectation and commitment on both sides that's worth keeping in mind as we look at what happens next.
Yeah, for sure. So then it's July 1st, 2008. Finlandia University sends Monahan a job offer, a tenured professor position for the 2008-09 academic year. You know, seems like a pretty standard career move in the academic world. But there's a catch. This offer comes with a deadline. Monahan has got to accept by July 15th. And they're very specific about how he needs to accept. He's got to sign the offer letter and send it back to them. In fact, the cover letter that came with the offer actually states, and this is a key detail, that the position would not be held if the signed letter was not received by July 15th. Pretty clear language, right?
Yeah, definitely. The university laid out their terms pretty explicitly. They specified the method of acceptance, a signed letter, and they were very clear about the deadline for receiving that acceptance. This is this is contract law 101 stuff. Setting out the offer in a clear and unambiguous way is essential in determining whether a valid agreement has been formed.
Right, essential. So now here's where things take a bit of a, an unexpected turn. Monahan, he does exactly what he's supposed to do. He signs the acceptance letter on July 14th, the day before the deadline, and he pops it in the mail.
Yeah.
So from his perspective, he's good. He's acted promptly, met the requirements, done deal. Right.
Absolutely. He's performed the necessary action to communicate his acceptance within the specified time frame. You know, all seems straightforward so far.
But there's a but. The university's mailroom, it seems, had a bit of a hiccup. I don't know if they were short-staffed or the mail got misrouted or what, but Monahan's letter, it didn't actually arrive until July 16th, one day after that deadline. A seemingly, you know, small administrative delay, but it ended up having some pretty big legal consequences.
And that's where the real issue lies, right? This delay, this, you know, little breakdown in the system, it becomes the center of the legal dispute.
Yeah.
Because it raises the question of, you know, who bears the responsibility for that delay and how does that affect the formation of the contract?
Exactly. Now, put yourself in Monahan's shoes for a second. It's July 21st, you're probably, you know, getting ready for the upcoming semester, and you get a letter from the university. This letter says, because they didn't get your acceptance by the 15th, they're considering your lack of response as a voluntary resignation. Talk about a curveball, right? You think you've got this tenured position all lined up, and suddenly it's gone.
Yeah, that's a pretty jarring response, especially given, you know, his history with the university. And it's right here that we see this clash between, like, the strict interpretation of the offer's terms and the, the reality of how things work in the world. You know, mail gets delayed, stuff happens.
Things happen, yeah. Well, Monahan, he's not buying it. He's thinking, hey, I accepted on time. We have a deal.
Yeah.
So he does what any reasonable person in his position would do. He lawyers up and he files a lawsuit alleging that the university breached their employment agreement for the 2008-09 academic year. And that brings us to the big legal question at the heart of this case, especially for our law students listening in.
The core issue in Monahan v. Finlandia University is this. Did Monahan's act of mailing his acceptance before the deadline, before July 15th, create a legally binding contract, even though the university didn't actually receive it until after the deadline? And this is where those fundamental principles of offer and acceptance that you learn in your first year contract law class, those really come into play.
Right, offer and acceptance. And, you know, while our sources don't explicitly say whether this was like a unilateral or bilateral contract situation, it's pretty clear they were going for a bilateral agreement here. Like Monahan's promise to work in exchange for the university's promise to employ him, right?
Exactly, an exchange of promises. And with this bilateral contract framework in mind, we got to talk about a very important legal doctrine that applies here, the mailbox rule. And for any law student listening, the mailbox rule is it's huge. It's a cornerstone of contract law, and it's absolutely central to understanding what happened in the Monahan case.
Okay, so let's break down this mailbox rule. What is it exactly, and why is it so important in this case?
So the mailbox rule is basically an exception to the general idea that for acceptance to be valid, it has to be communicated to the person who made the offer. The mailbox rule says that acceptance actually happens as soon as you send it off in this case, when Monahan put his signed letter in the mail on July 14th. It doesn't matter when the other side actually receives it. The key is that it was sent on time. And, you know, this rule really makes sense when you think about it, because it acknowledges that there can be delays with mail, right? And it protects the person who accepted the offer, the offeree, who did everything right on their end.
So if we apply the mailbox rule here, Monahan's acceptance would have been good to go on July 14th when he dropped that letter in the mailbox, even though the university didn't get it until the 16th.
Yeah, that's the basic idea. However, and this is a big however, the mailbox rule is like the default rule. It can be overridden if the offer specifically says something different. So if the offer clearly states that the acceptance only counts when it's received by a certain date, then, well, the mailbox rule might not apply. And that's where that language in Finlandia's offer, that part about the position not being held if not received by July 15th, that's where things get a little tricky.
Yeah, that's where the university is coming from, right?
Yep.
That language does seem pretty straightforward. Like, they were requiring receipt by the deadline, no ifs, ands, or buts. So did that effectively shut down the mailbox rule in this case?
That's what Finlandia University argued, for sure. And, initially it seemed like the court agreed. The trial court actually granted summary judgment in favor of the university on one of the counts in Monahan's lawsuit, the count specifically about breach of contract for that 2008-09 year. But then the case went to the appeals court, and that's where things get really interesting. The appeals court, especially the majority opinion written by Judge Bell, they took a different approach. They actually sided with Monahan.
Really? So what was Judge Bell's reasoning? How did he get from that seemingly clear language about needing the acceptance by the 15th to saying the university breached the contract?
Well, Judge Bell focused on what the university did after the deadline passed, after July 15th, and he pointed to a very specific piece of evidence. The letter the university sent to Monahan on July 21st, the very same letter where they told him they were taking his lack of response as a resignation.
Huh, interesting. So wait, the letter that basically told Monahan he didn't get the job? That's what helped his case. How does that work?
That's the cool part. Judge Bell zoomed in on the wording of that July 21st letter. He even quoted it directly in his opinion, and it's a quote worth remembering. He said, "The university's own statements reflect that until the July 21 letter was sent out, the university had been holding the position for Monahan." So, to the court, this meant that even though the deadline had passed, even though they hadn't gotten the letter on time, the university hadn't actually rejected Monahan's acceptance yet. They were still keeping the position open for him.
Oh, wow, I see. So the fact that the university waited until the 21st to formally say no, and the fact that they said they were holding the position for him, that implied that they were still considering him as the chosen guy, even after that July 15th deadline had passed.
Exactly. The court saw that as evidence that the university hadn't revoked the offer. They hadn't moved on to someone else. And since Monahan's acceptance technically arrived while they were still, considering him, the court said, okay, a timely acceptance happened. It was just delayed a bit due to no fault of Monahan's, and crucially, it arrived while the university was still, holding the door open for him.
And because of that, the final ruling was that the university, they did breach the contract by not giving Monahan that job for the 2008-09 academic year. Pretty big deal, right?
Right. And it all boiled down to, you know, a couple of legal concepts that are really important for law students to grasp. We've already touched on them, but let's unpack them a bit more. First, we have the mailbox rule, which we already talked about, and then there's the doctrine of waiver.
Okay, let's start with the mailbox rule. What are the, like, the absolute must-knows about this rule for our law students?
The most important thing about the mailbox rule is that it's the default rule in contract law for determining when acceptance happens. So unless the person making the offer, the offerer, clearly states that acceptance only counts upon receipt, the mailbox rule kicks in and acceptance becomes effective the second the person accepting the offeree sends it off. It recognizes that mail can be slow, it can get lost, things happen, and it protects the offeree who did everything they were supposed to do to accept the offer on time.
And then we have this idea of waiver. What does that mean in the context of contract law, and how did it come into play in the Monahan case?
Waiver basically means that a party to a contract, they can intentionally give up a right or a condition that they're entitled to under the contract. It's like saying, you know what, I'm not going to insist on this particular term anymore. In the Monahan case, the court said that Finlandia University, by their actions after the July 15th deadline, specifically by not immediately saying no to Monahan's acceptance, and by saying in that July 21st letter that they had been holding the position, they waived their right to stick to that strict deadline. Their actions showed they were still willing to go ahead with the contract, even though Monahan's acceptance was technically late.
So even though the offer had that, you know, pretty strong language about the position not being held, if the acceptance wasn't received by the 15th, the university didn't act like they were sticking to that. They didn't immediately reject Monahan, and that letter on the 21st, it kind of hinted that they were still open to having him, and the court said, well, that's a waiver of the deadline.
Exactly. And it's a good reminder that in contract law, it's not just about the exact words written in an agreement. It's also about how the parties behave and what their actions suggest. And another important thing to remember is that if an offer doesn't say that you absolutely have to accept in a specific way, any reasonable way of accepting is usually considered okay. So mailing a signed letter, that's generally good enough, especially when the offer doesn't forbid it.
And what about the general rule that offers expire if they're not accepted by the deadline? Like, the offer to Monahan had that July 15th deadline. Wouldn't that mean it just automatically disappeared, like poof, gone, if the university hadn't received its acceptance by then?
Well, usually, yes. Offers do expire if you don't accept them in time. But here's the thing. For an offer to be revoked, like taken back before it's accepted, the person making the offer has to actually do something to revoke it. They have to say, hey, I'm taking back my offer. In the Monahan case, Finlandia University, they didn't do that. They didn't say to Monahan before the 15th, we're withdrawing our offer. Their July 21st letter was all about not getting the acceptance on time, not about them canceling the offer before that.
I see. So the timeline is super important here.
Yeah.
Monahan sends his acceptance on the 14th, the university gets it on the 16th, and then they send him that letter on the 21st. And it's that gap between the 15th and the 21st where the university is like, well, we're still thinking about you, Monahan. That's where the waiver happened, according to the court.
Exactly. That period right after the deadline, that was key. The court really scrutinized what the university did during those few days. And the fact that they said they were holding the position for Monahan, that was strong evidence that the offer was still on the table.
This whole case, it really makes you think about, you know, the responsibility institutions have when it comes to their own, like, bureaucratic stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Deadlines are important, for sure. But is it fair to penalize someone because of a delay that's caused by the institution itself? Especially when that person did what they were supposed to do to meet the deadline. You know, in the Monahan case, it seems like the court was leaning towards fairness.
Okay, so let's get to the brass tacks here. For all our law students listening, what are the key takeaways from Monahan v. Finlandia University? What can they learn from all of this?
First off, pay attention to the wording of any offer you get, especially the parts about how and when to accept. Make sure you understand if they absolutely require you to get your acceptance to them by a certain date, because that might mean the mailbox rule doesn't apply. Second, always, always document everything. Write down when you signed the acceptance, when you sent it, how you sent it. If there's ever a dispute, having that proof can be crucial. And third, know your contract law basics. Understand the default rules, like the mailbox rule, but also remember that those rules can be changed if the offer says something different or if the other party acts in a way that waives a certain right.
And it's a good reminder that even those, you know, those super serious drop-dead deadlines, those can be open to interpretation depending on what the other side does.
Yeah.
If they act like they're still considering you after the deadline, well, that could have some serious legal implications.
Definitely. The Monahan case, it shows us that contract formation can be messy. You have to look at the whole picture, the words, the actions, the timeline. It's not always black and white.
So, to sum up our deep dive into Monahan v. Finlandia University, we've seen a classic example of the mailbox rule, which usually protects the person who accepted the offer if they sent their acceptance on time, butting heads with the idea of waivers, where the person making the offer can basically change the terms of the deal by their actions, even those super strict deadlines. This case is like a real-life lesson in how even simple things like a mailroom delay can turn into these complex legal battles.
And it leaves us with a question for you, our listeners, especially those future legal eagles. Think about how we balance the need for clear deadlines in contracts with the idea of being fair when those pesky administrative errors pop up. You know, how do cases like Monahan fit into our increasingly digital world? We're emailing, texting, instant messaging all the time, but those internal processes, those can still be slow and mistakes can still happen. So how do we navigate that? That's something to ponder as you continue your legal journey.
That's something to think about for sure. We encourage you to, really delve into the mailbox rule and check out other cases where this waiver thing has popped up. It's a fascinating area of contract law, and it's something that could come up in all sorts of deals you might handle someday. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.